You're listening to a message from Gateway Fellowship. Be sure to check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.
Thank you for dropping into our home. It's where Jen and I live, and we have for about the last 18 years. And we raised both of our boys to our high school years. As you can see, it's not very big, but what you see is about what you get. The living room over here on the right, our dining room, and then our kitchen, and then the stairway going to the upstairs where we have our bedroom upstairs. Our growth group meets over here, so we moved the furniture around, and it's real cozy, and we really, really, really enjoy it. We're thankful to the Lord for it. But it hasn't always looked this way. In fact, about 10 years ago, we went through this really huge remodeling project. So over here where the living room is, there was a wall that separated that room, so we removed that wall and expanded the living room just a little bit. We pushed this other wall back, so it made a little bit smaller bedroom and in office area, but a little bit larger living room. And then in the kitchen, we removed this wall right here and opened up that area, and then took a wall out leading up to the stairs and have the open banister. So it was one of those remodeling projects that took three or four months and a lot of planning and a lot of thinking. Now, I'm really, really happy to tell you that when Jen and I discussed what it is that we wanted, things went really, really smoothly. I mean, there was no tension at all. We were always in harmony with all of the decisions and all the things we wanted to do to the home. Yeah, well, sort of. It was mostly that way until we got to the lights. The lights were huge. It was the most tension-filled discussion that we had. I want to tell you about that.
Oh, man, the lights. Now, how many of you have been in that type of situation, remodeling or building for new? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. And so when I started to say that, you know, we were in perfect harmony and no tension at all, you started to think that word repent, that was for you today, right? I mean, come on, you were thinking that, right? So, but, you know, we began this remodeling project, and so we had all these decisions to make. If you've been, I don't care what you've built, you have decisions to make. And so we began to make those together. And for the most part, it was okay until we got to the lights. And when we got to the lights, those days of discussion represented the most tension-filled days, and we would have discussions that Jen would, she just saw this, by the way, for the very first time. She goes, when did you do that? You know, I didn't want to tell her about that, but she would call them arguments. I'd call them debates, you know. They're just debates. That's all they are. So we would have these ongoing discussions and about the lights and what should they look like and where should they be placed and on and on and on and on. And finally, we compromised. And we did it her way, and so, which, by the way, if you're a husband, you just grab a hold of that little nugget right there and run with it, okay? Compromise, do it her way, and you'll be much better off. Here's the deal, though. When it came to the lights, for the last number of years, I'll tell you what I've said to Jen, including just about a couple weeks ago, I'm so glad that I listened to you about the lights, because you were so, so right. And she was right. You see, light was such a huge part of our particular project. The placement of light is really, really important. Do you agree? That's what we're talking about today. See, architects place lights. If you're an architect, you place lights. You plan where the lights are going to be, because light has a particular purpose. And guess what the purpose of light is? Yeah, light. It's not a trick question, right? The purpose of light is to light. And where they're placed and the type of lights they are really, really important. Now think about it, because you've done the same thing we have in our home. Just kind of do a virtual walkthrough of your home right now, okay? Wherever it is that you live. And think about the lights that you have placed. I mean, you have end tables and you place a light there for a reason, right? You have coffee tables maybe, or in your bedroom, or in your living room, or in your office area. Think about it. You place a light there purposefully and strategically to give light or to provide some type of ambience. See, light is important. There is not a one of us that would say this, we don't need light. There's not a one of us that go, you know what, we just don't need light. And if I were to shut off all the lights in the room here, well, we don't need those. We'd go, no. We need light because light is really, really important. And if you were here over the Christmas weekend at all, that Saturday or that Sunday, you heard me talk a little bit about light and Jesus being the light of the world. In fact, in John chapter 12, he says this, I, Jesus speaking of himself, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. And what he was saying there is that we're all born into darkness, every one of us. We're born into this dark world. We're born into this world as sinners. And Jesus has come in as light to dispel that darkness. So when we receive Jesus, he brings his life. We receive his life and the light into this very, very dark area. John chapter 8, just a couple chapters back, says this. Jesus spoke to the people once more. Now he's saying of himself, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. It's the light that leads to life. You see, we needed Jesus to be the light into our dark world. We needed him to show us the way to the Father because we lived in darkness when we were born into this world. We needed him to show us the way. Jesus refers to himself as light, but guess what? He now refers to you and to me, if you're a follower of Jesus, as light. We're going to take a look at that in just a few moments. And it's going to be the foundation of some things I want to share with you, where we're going this year at Gateway. Jesus refers to himself as light. Now he refers to you, if you're a follower of Jesus, as, say it, light. You are light. See, if I went around the room today, here's what we'd find. We'd find teachers. And if I asked you what you do, you say, I'm a teacher. And I'd say, you're not a teacher because Jesus calls you light. Some of you would say, I'm an engineer. And go, you know what? You're not an engineer. Jesus calls you light. You're light. Some of you are stay-at-home moms. I'm a stay-at-home mom. You work harder than the rest of us, okay? You do. You're not a stay-at-home mom. You're light. Some of you are stay-at-home dads. You work hard at that. You're light, you see. Some of you work in the trades, and you're a craftsman, and you would say, I'm a carpenter, I'm a plumber, I'm a pipe fitter, and the list would go on and on, I'm a contractor, on, and I'm this. No. Jesus says, you're light. You see, we are light, and he has purposely placed us. We're going to see that in just a few moments. We are light. Jesus teaches us about that. And we're just not carriers of light. We want to grasp this now. We're just not carriers of light. We are light. We are the light of the world, not just a carrier. We are. There's a difference. You know what a carrier does? It's something you grab, right? I had my phone last week, and it's something I carry with me. Guess what I did with it last week? I left it at home. Because something we carry is something we sometimes leave. And so I carry my phone, but I left my phone at the house and had to turn around, make a U-turn, and go back and get it. Because it's something I carry, and something you carry has the potential of being left. Light, as a follower of Jesus, is not something we carry, it's something that we are. Wherever we go, we're to be light. Now, Jesus teaches us about light. It's a real teaching moment. And he's got gathered around him some of his closest followers. And the Bible describes it this way. His close followers are around him. And then this huge crowd began to gather. And we read about it in the Bible in this teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the reason it's called the Sermon on the Mount is because he was on a mountain, okay, when he taught it. So that's why it's called that. And so it's in Matthew chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, and if you don't, there's one in front of you, and then some key scriptures are going to come up here on the screen in just a moment. But Jesus is teaching them about, teaching followers of Jesus how to live. Now he's doing so in light of an announcement that he made about the coming kingdom, just a chapter over. And you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he says this: "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" Now, what began to happen is those who gathered around him, these crowds, had to start kind of reconciling what they were hearing Jesus say. Because the only standard of righteousness these people had, or that they knew, was laid down by the current religious leaders. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees had this whole system of laws that you had to follow. And Jesus says, hey, just repent. Repent. It's not performing at a certain level that would get you into the kingdom. It's repentance. And Jesus is teaching about this. Now, as you go through this talk or this message or the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7, what you won't find so much that message talking about the way of salvation. What you will find, however, is that this sermon showed a person who is in right relationship with God how we should conduct our life. So he's talking to followers of Jesus, and he's saying, here's how you should conduct your life. Here's what it should look like. So as your light shines, you know, as you're out in the world, here's what your life should look like. Here's what people should see when you're out in the world. And that's the Sermon on the Mount. Now, some of these standards, some of the things that Jesus talked about were general in nature. Some of them were a little bit more specific. He says you can't serve both God and money in there. He says this, that if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go the second mile. That's pretty specific teaching by Jesus. And then some pertain to the future when he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And he's talking about the future. But when it comes to being specific, Jesus is very, very specific when he refers to his followers as salt and light. I mean, there's no wiggle room here. So go to Matthew chapter 5 and then slide down to about verses 14 and 15. Like I mentioned, they're coming up on the screen. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, where Jesus is very specific about who we are. Here's what he says. He says, you are the, say it, light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And he goes on, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. You are a light in the world. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. And then he goes on and he explains this, and no one would place a light on a table, just like you have it in your home, and then never turn it on. Nobody would take this light and set it there and then just shut it off. Because off, it's no longer doing what? Serving its purpose. It no longer has value. It only has value and purpose when it's shining. Jesus says if you're a follower of his, and he has come alive in your life, you are light. And you have purpose and you have value. If you're here today, and you're his follower, and you think you don't have value, that's your answer right there. Because he says, you have value as light in a very, very dark place, wherever he has placed you. Here's what he's saying. Just like the lights in your house have purpose, that is to light. Now your life has purpose and your life has value. And you have been placed there strategically. We'll see that in just a moment. The teaching brings value to who we are in all that we do. Wherever you are and wherever you go, you're light. Wherever I go, wherever my journeys take me, I am light. It brings value and purpose to what we do and who we are. Jesus is being very specific about who we are and our purpose in life. You are light. You may serve out your life doing a lot of other things, but you're light. And you have value. And you have purpose. And just like you have placed lights in your house very strategically and very purposefully, so he has placed you in the world where you are on purpose and strategically, wherever that is, wherever you are, wherever you spend your day, he has placed you strategically as light. Here's what I want you to see. My Bible says this, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. We read that just a moment ago. I, for the most part, use the NLT version, and some of you use that as well. But that translation is not the best translation. It doesn't treat that passage in the best way. Another version does, and maybe some of your Bibles read this way. The ESV says this because it inserts a word that is really closer to the Greek language, and that word is set. And here's how it reads, coming up on the screen: "You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. A city set on a hill." Now, if that word is in your Bible, circle it, because it's really important. Underline it. If it's not in your Bible, and if you're okay with writing in the margin, write set, because it brings real meaning to what we're talking about. You see, that word is not built. That word is used here. It's the same word in the New Testament that often talks about divine or sovereign decisions. God has divinely set you as light where you are. He has divinely and sovereignly placed you. He has set you where you are as light. He has set you there. Just like architects have set those lights very strategically and very purposely, He has set you where you are. Your life has value. Your life has purpose. Wherever you are, wherever you work, whatever your office looks like, whatever your workplace looks like, you have value because Jesus has set you there divinely and sovereignly to be light. Whatever it is you're involved in, He's called you there and He has placed you there. Have you ever walked by a home or driven by a home and you kind of go, man, I wonder why they built that there. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I have. You know, it's like, I wonder why they did that. I wonder why they built it there. Well, you know, who knows what the backstory is. Maybe you know, the property was inexpensive, or maybe it was just the only place left. Who knows what? But see, that's not the sense we get here. It's not just like it was okay just to build it there. It just worked out okay. No. We were set there. We were purposely placed there. You are not a city that just happens to be built or set, but strategically placed there. It's true for you and your life individually. It's true for this church and this community that Jesus has placed us here very strategically and on purpose to be light, just like the architects have. And that's what Jesus is saying. Every follower of His is set, placed to do what? To be light. Jesus says, no one lights a lamp and then hides it. No, we understand the purpose of light, and a properly placed light lights, and everyone benefits. Where we place the lamps in our house impacts how well the house is lit or the effectiveness of light. And it's true in light that Jesus has placed you to be light, and you're making a difference. We'll talk about two emphases. This teaching forms the foundation of two emphases that I want to share with you, what we're calling the road ahead. Each January, as we get into the new year, share this same message or the title, the road ahead. In other words, what is it that we're going to be emphasizing this year? And each year, it's been different. Now, they don't represent all that we're doing. I mean, there's so much going on. But they do represent two emphases that you're going to hear time and time again that are going to help us determine what it is that Jesus wants us to do this year. It's going to be the thread through everything. Like I mentioned, He's called you to be light. He's called this church to be light. And don't you know that when we gather together, when the lights come together, we're stronger, right? Underlying all of this in just a moment is better together. So there are two things. And if you're sitting beside that stack of cards, it has the word declare on it. Would you begin passing those down right now? Because you're going to need those, okay? Declare. Begin passing those down right now. They're the two emphases for this year at Gateway as we move ahead, the road ahead. Declare. Pass those down. Everyone get one. Two things. Number one, declare who we are. And number two, declare who He is. So everybody say declare. Declare. Okay, that's the key word. Declare who we are and declare who He is. Undergirding these two emphases is this: better together. We're better together. That is, as our light in our local community and region in the world today, it's stronger as we join together to accomplish His purpose. You know that's true. We bring lights together, the light is brighter and is stronger. We are better together as we declare who we are first, and then we declare who He is. You've heard me say this time and time again. He can't do anything through us until He does something in us. But as He does something in us, now He can work through us. We declare who we are, and then we declare who He is. It's so true that as we come together and we fulfill His purposes for us, that we become people who make a difference. Not because we're doing it, but because the light of Jesus is shining bright. Now, two things. Declare who we are. There are two parts to that. Number one is this. We're believing God for 100 new baptisms this year. Now, let me say it this way. We're not limiting God to 100 new baptisms, okay? We're believing God for 100 new baptisms. We're not limiting Him. As far as we know, we have never baptized 100 different people in 1 year, as far as we know. We're believing God for 100 new baptisms this year. These baptisms will represent new believers, people like who this past year took a new step of faith for the very first time and placed their faith in Jesus. We believe that Jesus is going to bring people along. We believe, and I'll talk about in just a moment, that He's going to open up opportunities for us to share the light, and that people are going to place their faith in Him, and we are going to celebrate. We are going to celebrate that on particular Sundays. The first one is listed on your card, January the 29th. More about that in just a moment. So it's going to represent new believers. It's going to represent those who have not yet taken that step in obedience. And that represents some of us here today. You have placed your faith and your trust in Him, but you've never stepped forward in water baptism to declare who you are. And some of us have been believers for a long time. It doesn't make any difference. The question is, have you followed the Lord in water baptism? Have you declared who you are? Because that's what baptism is all about. It's declaring the work that Jesus has done in your life. If you're baptized and you've never placed your faith in Jesus, guess what? You just wet. You're just wet. Nothing. The act of baptism doesn't save you. It just declares who you are. And we see that as a really, really important step. So we're encouraging you and asking, have you been baptized? And if not, maybe January 29th is your date. So you check that box. Yes, I want to follow the Lord in baptism. January 29th works for me. And if it doesn't, you still want to follow the Lord in water baptism, let me know when the next baptism date is. And you check that. So do that. Baptism is commanded in scriptures. Acts chapter 10 gives us the pattern. All who repent and believe in Jesus as Lord are to be baptized. Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the and the Holy Spirit. It's what we're to do. And so we're believing God for that. And that number will represent new people coming to faith as they receive the light, as we have opportunity to share with them. The second part of that card is this. It says, my personal commitment to declare. Here's what I'm asking you. Will you seize every opportunity to be light? Now, for some of you, that's a brand new commitment. For some of you, it's a recommitment. Here's what I'm saying. As God opens up opportunities for us to be light and to share light with those that we work with, that we're surrounded with, in that area that He has placed us to be light, will you make a brand new commitment, and for some, a recommitment today to share the story, share God's story that's in your life? I prayed that prayer one time when I think I was 17 years old, and I was at work, and I saw this guy, and I just felt this, you know, this prompting. I mean, like, it wasn't the voice of God like I'm talking to you, but it was this sense that I talked to Him. So I thought I could get out of that. So I just prayed. I said, God, if you give me the opportunity, if you open up the door, then I will. Well, see, if you pray that, guess what's going to happen? Yeah, there's going to be the opportunity. And there was, and I did. And I'm praying that all of us, myself, all of us will go, you know what? I'm going to make this commitment as Jesus opens up the opportunity to share my story, an opportunity to be light, and we resist the enemy who wants to sidetrack us. So will you make that commitment? And if you will, I pray you will, then I'm asking you to include your name on that blank line. Now, I mentioned, if you follow me on Facebook, that I'm just going to share with you a couple stories from last week of what we're talking about, people who have shared this story. And if you were here last Sunday, we had a powerful prayer Sunday. Once or twice a year, Gateway sets aside a Sunday, and we devote it to prayer. And last Sunday, there were three prayer emphases, right? Jobs and finances, the unsaved, and healing. And we prayed. And then I invited you, share your story, right? Share your story of what God's doing. And so I received a number of stories this past week, and I'm going to share three of them with you. Number one comes from a couple, Matthew and Margaret Wagner, and they usually sit right down there at the 9:30 service. They were there today. And so Matt came forward during the healing time, and we prayed for a particular need I'll share with you in a moment. And it was prior to his coming that God did this amazing thing. And Margaret, who was unable to be here last week, then sent me in this story as Matt shared it with his wife. Here's what she writes. She says, "I was unable to attend last Sunday's prayer service, but Matt went, and we want to report on the astonishing message he received during the prayer service. A woman he didn't know or remember seeing came up to him during the service with a strange question. This is how their conversation went. She walked up and asked, 'Excuse me, but do you have a granddaughter?' 'Yes,' he said, feeling surprised, thinking, 'What kind of question is this? Actually, we have three granddaughters,' and he wasn't sure where this conversation was going." This is last week, staying right down here. "The woman then announced an astonishing fact. 'Your granddaughter just had a baby, actually twins, preemies, a few days ago, right?' He gazed at her in astonishment. How could she know? 'The twins were born at Swedish hospital by cesarean section 6 days ago at 30 and a half weeks gestation. Identical tiny girls weigh 1 pound, 13 ounces, and 3+ pounds, but appearing strong and healthy. Of course, we had been ecstatic because we knew the pregnancy was high risk, but for reasons, they hadn't told anyone at church and hadn't put their granddaughter on the prayer chain. Thinking about it now, Margaret writes, she says, 'I think it's because God wanted to do the announcing himself.'" That was good. And then she goes on. She says, "When the woman announced the facts and said she was supposed to pray with him about the babies, Matt was so astonished he didn't know how to react, except to pray, of course. The woman said she usually didn't attend the 9:30 service, usually attends another service, but God had told her that she was to give a certain grandfather the message and pray that the twins would be all right, which they did. And she concludes her note with, says, 'They're thriving.'" That's a God story, see? That's a God story. The question is, what's your story? And will you commit to sharing what God's doing in your life to be light? Another story I got was this, that God, during the service, during the prayer service now, answered a 10-plus year prayer request during the service. That's a God story. Will we be willing to share those stories with people he is connected with? And then Monday morning, my phone rings, and this gal is really, really excited to tell me this story. They attend Gateway Hill for many, many years, Ron and Sydney McBride. And she says this, and I asked her, would you write that down and send it to me? And so she did. She says, "Hi, Tom, I have a great God story for you. At the prayer service yesterday," would have been a week ago, "it was suggested that we write on a card a need we have and place it on the altar. If you were here, what we did is we placed financial needs, needs for jobs for ourselves and for other people, and we laid it up here on the altar. Ron and I didn't realize at the time that we had both written a sale of our house down on that card, and so they both individually came and laid those cards down. And we claimed the victory as Michael prayed, and I added that I wanted whoever bought our house that they would be blessed by it. 30 minutes after we got home from church, we received a phone call from a man who was driving around with his parents in Silverdale Estates, and they saw our house for sale by owner sign in the window. They had already looked at homes for sale in the park with a realtor and had shown interest in one. We jumped in the car and drove down and met with them, showing them our home. They loved it and mentioned they had lived at the park 11 years ago. So when I mentioned my parents had lived there then, I thought maybe they would know them. Right away, they realized who my parents were and went on about how wonderful they were. The next conversation was about our bottom price. And Ron asked, 'What's your top price?' They made us an offer that was even better than what we had expected. And within an hour, we shook on the deal. As far as being able to bless them, the parents had arrived from Florida and were presently staying at a motel. Since our house still had a bed and some furniture in it, we offered them the option to stay in their new house instead of a motel while waiting for the paperwork to all be signed and their furniture to arrive next week. I told Jerry, the new owner, about God answering our prayer and found out that she was a believer and she wanted her husband to hear. He was a believer too. And then she said to her son, Jim, you got to hear this story. And maybe you'll become a believer. Son wasn't a believer. And so we shared our God story with him and planted seeds for him to become a believer too. We are so blessed and so thankful. God is so good. That's a God story. That's what I'm talking about. Would you commit? Because we have those stories. And by the way, some of us, lots of us laid those needs out. You keep praying. You keep praying. God's not answered it yet. Keep praying. He hears us. Okay? Are we willing to commit, recommit some of us to tell our story to be light in the world? I pray that you will, and I pray that you will include your name on that card. Lastly, declaring who he is. Declare who we are and declare who he is. This year I'm asking us to declare who he is through how we live and how we serve. Now, if we go back to the passage for a moment where Jesus is teaching about light, he says this, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Kind of hang on to that for just a moment. I'm going to come back to it. You see, what he is saying here is simply this, do something. Do something. Now, I know that we can get really, really nervous when someone starts talking about the need to do something. But here's what I know. Here's what I know. A changed life will change my focus and my behavior. If you've been changed, if the light of Jesus has come into your life, it will change your focus. It will change your behavior. I will want to carry out my life for him. I will want to serve his purposes, right, in the world today, and that is to be light. If you're a follower of Jesus, then the evidence of an already changed life will be seen in what you do. What you do won't save you. What you do won't give you eternal life. But the opposite is also true. Who we are will impact what we do. It will change our focus. It will change our purpose. The evidence of a changed life will be seen in behavior and action. And Paul talks about this in the book of Acts, the 26th chapter, when he's before Agrippa and he's talking about repentance. And he says this, all must repent of their sins and turn to God. And then he adds this part right here, and prove they have changed by the good things they do. All he's saying is that if you're a follower of Jesus, look, that will be seen. Your actions will change who you are. Your purpose in life will change. Do something. Live in such a way that people will see what God is doing in you and through you. And here's what I'm asking us to do. Here's the challenge for us. And here's our emphasis this year. I'm asking us this. What is God calling you to do today that will impact the life of another person? What is it that Jesus is asking you to do today that will impact the life of a child? If you were here last week, we had children all across this stage. And Jesus is talking to some of you today to get involved in these kids' lives. The children's program is going. We need people who will step in and say, you know what, I'm going to be a part of making a difference in some student's life. Is Jesus talking to you about that? Maybe it's just holding a baby. Maybe it's joining a team. How about a student? Now, for some of us, like high school students scare us. But for some of you, you're really good at it. Or junior high kids, because they eat their debt. Junior high kids can scare some of us, right? But for some of us, it's who God has made us to be. So my question is Jesus talking to you today to make a difference in another student? How about another adult? Somebody. I'm asking us to consider how we can be a part of what God is doing in the church and outside of the church. Being a part of what he is doing in the world today. Many of you are involved. You're a part of making a difference in the world today, and you're working and you're serving in the area that Jesus has called you to. It includes so much. You're so involved. It does include feeding. You see the sign on the side of the south side of the building. It involves going with the host market. It involves being in part of making a difference in our local area and in the world today. And I say to you, keep on doing it. Don't get discouraged. I know sometimes we can begin to think, look, what I'm doing just isn't making much of a difference. It is. Because the light is shining. So the light is shining. It's making a difference. You're making a difference. Keep on doing it. But I'm inviting all of us to join the team, to be a part of what Jesus wants us to do. Listen, I believe more than ever, there are more opportunities for the church today to be light in the darkness. I know sometimes when you pick up the paper, you go online, you read about all the stuff that's going on out there, and the economy is in the tank, and it goes on and on and on. Guess what? Those are opportunities for the church. Those are opportunities for you. They're opportunities for me to be light. But let me say this. It's so that He is glorified. It's so that He can be glorified locally and in the world today. It has nothing to do with us. God continue to forgive us and release us from anything that has to do with us. Anything that happens that brings the glory or the attention to us, God help us. It's so that He is glorified. It's so that His praises, it's for His praise, it's for the worship of God who loves us and gave Himself for us. Will you join the team? Will you be a part of being the light? You see, individually we are called to be light, but collectively as a church, we're called to be light as a community of believers. And when we come together, we're better together. As we serve together, the light shines brighter. One last thing, I know we've gone over today. Mario, come on up here. I'm calling us to really take the challenge today that Jesus is talking to us about, and that's to be individual light, to serve and to be light. But I have an announcement for you, and I'm really excited about it, because something we've been praying about and preparing for, and that's this. Gateway is starting a brand new ministry called Gateway Counseling, and I believe that it will bring light and hope to many, many people. It's just one way that Gateway is going to reach into our community and offer light and hope and healing. Mar and I began talking about this about 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it's about
and
that time.
You were in school then, studying hard, working hard, heard all the stories, all that. But God is preparing Mario uniquely, I think, for this time. And last year he graduated, and I'm now really excited to announce to you the launch and the start of Gateway Counseling. God has gifted Mario in this area. There isn't a person that I wouldn't recommend and refer to him. I do. I would go to you for counseling.
That's true. And he has once or twice.
Oh, no.
It's confidential.
So confidential. Don't let go of it. Ushering team's coming forward right now. Would you begin? Would you pass those out? Because it really gives a picture of Gateway Counseling. The Board of Elders has approved this. Believe it's the way to go. I believe it's an area that Jesus is calling us into, and Mario's going to be leading that. He's still going to be on our teaching team. He's still leading our group ministry. But Mario, tell us just a little bit about what Gateway Counseling looks like.
Yeah, Gateway Counseling is an opportunity to be able to reach out, as Tom said, to move into places of hope. As he's talked about, he's saying, be involved and be serving and things like that. And for many of us, there may be that check inside of us saying we want to do that, but there's so much stuff, there's so much whatever that may be, and it's my hope to be able to help with some of that process. What we find is that Jesus, God, if we want to speak in that terms, He didn't just create this world, spin it, and say, good luck, have fun. But what He found is that in the midst of our heartache, in the midst of our shame, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our depression and lostness, He chose to step into those situations and stepped into our very being to help bring redemption. And that is the way, that's the approach in which I hope to bring to people, is to step into the hardness, to step into the heartache, to step into whatever it may be. You see all these different things that we're able to provide, but to step in those circumstances, and just as Jesus did, to bring hope. That is my desire, that is my hope, is to help with some of those situations. And so it seems to be what's broken in relationship needs to be healed in relationship, and that's what I hope to provide. And looking forward to seeing what God's going to do. What he's already been doing has been amazing. The stories of seeing people's hearts and lives move from the impasses that they've been on to move towards life. Looking forward to seeing that continue through this ministry.
Yeah, we had what we call maybe a soft launch, where we launched, we just didn't tell anybody because we want to kind of get going. And now this is a hard launch, and so now we're telling you, and so help us. We just believe it's another way for Gateway to be light in our community. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray. We're going to commit first ourselves to the Lord. Those cards that you have filled out, maybe some of you are going to take that step of water baptism. Or your personal commitment. We're going to pray, God, as you allow me to share my story, I'm going to seize that opportunity. And then will you tell us the stories? Because we want to share them. We need to hear what God is doing. And then maybe as you prayerfully consider how you can join a team, would you let us know? Check that spot. Leave your name. The best way to contact you, someone will get back to you. And then together, let's just pray for Mario, shall we? Let's pray for the launch of Gateway Counseling, that God will use it to be light and be hope. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Jesus, for the teaching of your word that brings value and purpose to every follower of Jesus, every follower of you. We are light. I pray, Lord, that many of us will leave this place with a brand new perspective, maybe a brand new sense of the value and the purpose that we have in life, and that's to be light. In that place you have strategically set us. I pray for that. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities to be involved in what you're doing. We know, Lord, you have to first work in us, and then you work through us. So, God, speak to us about the areas that you are calling us to be involved in, and serving, and being a part of the team, coming together so that our light shines brighter in the world, locally and abroad. Lord, thank you for the opportunity. For Gateway Counseling, for Mario, Lord, who I believe that you have uniquely prepared, who has set aside the time and the study, and now you've called him. And God, we give Gateway Counseling to you. We commit Mario to you. We commit this ministry to you, Lord, that it will be and it will bring light and hope and healing to many. And as we declare who you are, as we declare and become light in this world, God, we know that we're going to hear the stories of your grace and your mercy working in the lives of many, many people. I thank you for it. We commit ourselves to you. We commit this ministry to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Last couple things. First of all, thanks again, because you went overtime. And so,
my bad.
Yeah, so thank you for a little bit of flexibility today. Wanted to keep you in here because I think it's warmer out now than it would have been 10 minutes ago. So, if you're new, we hang out in the lobby, so sure would love to meet you. Leave those cards laying in your seat. And then next week, really, really excited about a series we're launching next week called Guardrails. How many know about the importance, because maybe you've experienced it, of guardrails on the road, right?
Yes.
How many have ever experienced that? And we're glad they're there because they've stopped us from kind of going over the edge.
Right.
Well, we need those in our walk with Jesus too. So we're launching a series next week called Guardrails. It's going to be great. Hope to see you. Have a great week and be safe. Love you guys.
To find out more about Gateway Fellowship or our terms of use, check us out at gatewayfellowship.com.